here. Okay, so let's talk about a sale of an automobile, a very questionable sale, and whether it's valid or not, that generated a great deal of controversy. And this is part of our continuous study of halachic business ethics. And maybe at the end of this discussion, after we go through the sugya and try to figure out, you know, what's going on with this case of an automobile, then maybe we'll talk about other questions that may or may not come up tonight, but at least we'll plant a seed for the future. So if you turn to the second side of your page, you'll see I photocopied a few paragraphs from a sefer called Mishpatei HaTorah, which is written by Rav Tzvi Spitz. I think I mentioned the sefer in the past. And he calls this Matai Chala Kinyan Berchishat Mechonit. So at what particular moment is the sale irreversible? It's totally valid and clinched with regard to an automobile. So he tells the following story. He says a person purchased an automobile. They landed, they agreed on 50,000 shekel. He, the buyer, only had 30,000 shekel to put down. This was on a Friday. They made up that the balance would be handed over from the lokeach, from the buyer, to the mocher on Sunday. And at that time they would go to the Department of Motor Vehicles, what's called the Misrad HaRishui, and they would register the car in the name of the buyer, of the lokeach. However, in the meantime, the lokeach drives the car towards his house. It says here, the way the question is presented, I don't know if this is a significant element here, but if you take a look on the fifth line, he says, Hakoneh, what we call lokeach, he calls it the koneh in modern Hebrew, Nasaba ba'oto ayom misfar sha'ot. He's driving around in this new car for a couple of hours. And then at some point he parks it near his house in the public area. No, he didn't park it in his garage. If he parked in his garage, that would be a whole different question because of what's called the Kinyan Chatzer. You know, it's anything I take into my Chatzer, as long as you give me rights for that and ownership rights, it becomes mine. But he didn't put it into the garage. He left it outside on the street near his house. That's called a Reshut HaRabim. Anyone can park there. So it's part of the public thoroughfare. That's going to be, I mention this because that's going to be one of the main controversial issues here.
So there was never a contract drawn up.
The only possible Kinyan here was what we call payment of money. But again, he only paid part of the money.
He didn't pay the whole. The maftechot are, you know, that's as far as a car owner, that's the Kinyan.
Well, we'll see if this is going to come up. I'm not sure. I don't remember that he spoke about maftechot. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that maftechot is only a Kinyan karka and not a Kinyan metaltolin. So we're going to view this automobile as metaltolin. Again, I don't know if there's anyone who's willing to call it karka. I don't think there's such a thing as movable karka by definition. If it's movable,
what's the definition of karka?
Karka is land, is real estate. In modern Hebrew they call it nadlar. But in the case of an automobile, I think we're talking about something that moves and cannot possibly be classified as karka. Maftechot, I think, only works by karka. So, for example, you have a famous sugya, since we're holding almost the Rosh Chodesh Nisan, of bedikas chometz between a masker and a socher. You remember that? If I rent you my house, who has to do the bedika? I mean, you as the renter would say, well, it's your chometz, Mr. Masker. You know, I don't want to clean out your chometz. But I say, well, you're going to live there over the chag. I don't want to clean out the place. You clean out the place. And the Gemara finally concludes that depends when the schiris was chal, and that's when the new rental agreement was clinched. And the Gemara says that if the rental agreement was clinched before your dalit, which is the time for bedikas chametz, then the socher who rented it has to do the bedika. If, on the other hand, the deal was clinched after sunset on your dalit, so you're already into Erev Pesach, so at the time of your dalit, it was still in the possession of the maskir, the owner, then the maskir has to do the bedika. So the Gemara says, and what clinches the kinyan? The Gemara says, passing on the keys. But that's because we're talking about a house which is karka. And it's it's attached to the ground. Anything attached to the ground has a din of karka, and therefore it depends on the maftechot. Here in our case, we're talking about an automobile, then you're talking about a kinyan on metaltalin, on movables. Now the classical kinyan on metaltalin is not kesef, as we'll see. I mean, again, that's going to be part of the controversy here. But if I buy, for example, if you sell me this bottle of water and I give you money for it, that's not a kinyan. Because kesef is kone karka, but not metaltalin. What I have to do is, I have to do what's called a mashicha. Mashicha means I actually pull it towards myself.
Is there anything in the Gemara about IOUs?
Anything about IOUs for purchase purposes, to use as a kinyan?
Yeah, because one could suggest that, you know, the moment he even handed over money, that car became his. In other words, Yanni, okay, so you didn't give, he didn't get the full 50,000 shekels, but he got, he basically gave him a lot of money. In other words, can't you say that the kinyan would be as a result of the exchange of any sum of money, regardless of whether it was a full sum or not?
But the question is kesef kone metaltalin?
Even if he gave the whole 50.
Even if he gave the whole 50. Right, because kesef is not kone metaltalin, he's got to do a called a kinyan yad.
Okay.
The question is, did he do a kinyan yad? Now, in the case of an animal, I'm not sure if it's necessary to pull the animal the way we pulled this bottle before. It might be enough to ride the animal, and that's going to be the first source on your, on page one over here, where the riding itself, which is called rechiva, is a kinyan in the case of behemoth. And why do you think I focus on the concept of riding in this context?
He's riding the car.
Yeah, because he drove the car. Maybe the driving the car would be parallel to driving an animal, if you follow my point. And then you could be kona with rechiva. I mean, there are a number of other issues that are relevant here. For example, does Dina de Malchusa Dina apply? If, let's say, they haven't yet registered the car on the buyer's name, so for insurance purposes, I don't know, the insurance company could claim we're not covering the buyer until... So the seller still has responsibility if, let's say, this car gets into an accident or something.
I don't know. I don't buy that. I mean, I would.
No, I don't know enough about insurance law. I'm just throwing out that possibility. So again, what constitutes a sale in secular terms? Whether it's the registration in this, but we want to know what constitutes the sale in halachic terms. Because, as you see in the second paragraph, do you see on the second page, the second paragraph towards the bottom? He says the buyer claims, okay, well, at the end of the first paragraph, excuse me, this you have to underline because this is the punchline. He says that after the seller gave the buyer the ability to drive the car, the buyer drove the car, he parked the car next to his house, and what happened on Friday night? The car got stolen. So in the next paragraph, the kona, the buyer, is claiming, well, kesef is not kona metaltalin. In other words, movable objects are not transferred through money. And not only that, he didn't even pay all the money. And beyond that, he says, since the car was not yet registered on his name, it remains in the possession of the seller. So basically, the buyer has three different arguments or claims. First of all, kesef is not kone metaltalin. Secondly, in this case, he didn't pay the entire sum of kesef. That itself indicates that he hasn't purchased it yet. And thirdly, he says that the legal status of the car until it's registered officially is that it still belongs to the seller. And therefore, now that it was stolen, the mocher can't provide the goods, in this case the automobile, the whole deal is off. So the buyer is saying, pay me back the return reimbursement for the $30,000 I put down, and you go find the guy. On the other hand, in the bottom paragraph, the mocher, the seller, counters with an argument. He says that you were kona by driving the automobile. That's an interesting question that we have to really focus our attention on. And therefore, by driving the car, it's yours. The process, the legal process of transferring ownership in the we'll call it the Department of Motor Vehicles, the Misrata Rishui, doesn't prevent the kinyan that was done between them from being a valid kinyan. If the halacha recognizes that kinyan, then registration of the car is irrelevant. Therefore, the stolen car was already under the ownership of the buyer, and he has to pay the balance and go find the guy. So it's interesting that he adds the three words at the end, Hatzedek im mi. Meaning, if you were to sit as a judge and have to deal with this case, you know, who would win the case? Now, for this, we're going to have to really study some of the laws of Kinyanim. And we start with a Gemara in Bav Metzia on Daf Tes, which is the first source on your page. And the Gemara says the following. B'mekach u'memkach askinan di'omer le'kni k'derech Shebnei Adam Konin. So the seller says to the buyer, make a kinyan in the way it's normally done. So the Gemara says, it depends. If it's Rishus HaRavim, then, and the Gemara is talking now about an animal, we don't generally ride animals in a public thoroughfare. That's a dangerous thing to do. Unless, the Gemara says, he's an Adam Chashuv. An Adam Chashuv, you know, you can imagine like they took, you know, they took Mordechai on horseback, you know, through the streets of Shushan. Or, for example, a woman, because a woman doesn't usually walk through the streets, either because it's hard for her, or maybe it's not respected, whatever it is. So the Gemara says it was absolutely kederach b'nei Adam for women to drive animals through the streets. And therefore, the kinyan is valid. And the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Hilchas Mekach u'Memkar, that's the second source in your page, Simon Kuf Tzadi Zayin, Hamocher Behemel Chavero, O Nosna Lo B'matono, it doesn't matter whether he, the recipient, is buying or he's receiving a gift, gratis, the Omar, and the seller declares, Knei Kederach Shebnei Adam Konim, make a kinyan in the way that's normally done, Im Mashach, if the buyer or the recipient, mashach, what's mashach? He pulls it. If he pulls the animal, oh higbia, or he lifts it. Again, it's hard. It's highly unlikely that you could lift an elephant. But the Gemara says that in order to lift an elephant, what you do is you put four things down on the ground, and you get the elephant to jump onto the four things. That's called a kinyan hadba kana. What if he rides the animal? Is rechiva itself a kinyan? So the Gemara says it depends. Aval im rachav aleha im bisadeh, if it was in a field, that's where you generally ride horses, in a field, an open field. Kana, that's kederach b'nei adam, therefore it's a valid kinyan. But if it's be'ir b'shus harabim, lo kana. Why? L'fisha ein derach b'nei adam lirchov be'ir. People don't, generally speaking, drive animals, they don't ride on a horse down the city streets, where it's crowded, people are crossing, and so forth and so on. L'fichach im haya adam chashuv, shedarko lirchov be'ir. Certain very significant people, dignitaries and the like, would commonly drive, ride their horses in the city. Oh, adam mezulz v'yos shedamak b'dali lucho be'ir. Perhaps a person who's on a very low kind of strata in terms of his psychology and his customs, he's not careful about to either rob him. So in such a case, or for example a woman, he says, then you can be kona through rechiva even in Rishus HaRab. So there's no absolute exclusion of a public thoroughfare for the kinyan of rechiva. Riding an animal even in a public thoroughfare may indeed qualify as a kinyan, as long as what?
That's what you always do.
Yeah, correct. It's normal. It's kederach b'nei adam. So the Ktsos, which you'll see is the third source on your page, he asks a question, what do you mean B'shus HaRabim? I don't understand. HaRabim Doch Kimsham. There are so many throngs of people there. V'keimon D'Rachuv D'Kono Mita Meshicha. Rechiva, meaning riding an animal, is like Meshicha, you are pulling the animal. B'may D'Ozle Machmasei, because the animal is moving as a result of his riding. We have a rule, says the Ketzos, with regard to Mashicha, Ein Mashicha Bershus HaRabin. There is no Mashicha in a Rishus HaRabin. Mashicha only works either in a private, in the private area, the private domain of the Lokeach, of the buyer, or in what's called a Simta, which are areas that are designated in Rishus HaRabin for a particular use. And they're designated in such a way that you can use that Simta to the exclusion of others, again on a temporary basis, and it's yours. But in a public thoroughfare, there is no Kinyan Mashicha. Because apparently, what's the essence of Mashicha? Every Kinyan has to symbolize something. What is the symbolic act of Mashicha? What's its goal?
You're pulling the symbol towards you.
More than that. Because that could happen even in Rosh Hashanah.
You use it. I mean, it's going to help you with the living.
Well, I would say a little bit different. What I'm doing is by taking it into my domain, I now have exclusive possession. I have exclusive use of the object. The idea of a kinyan is to demonstrate in a very dramatic way a transfer of ownership. You know, it was yours, now it's mine. So Mashicha itself in the middle of Rosh Hashanah doesn't really prove it's mine, but if I take it into an area that's designated for my use exclusively, then I now have the access and I can have the ownership. That's Mashicha. So the Ketzos asks, insofar as Rechiva is a tolda, is a subcategory, an extension of Mashicha, since the rule is that there's no Mashicha Rosh Hashanah, then if so facto there should be no Rechiva as a valid Kinyan or Rosh Hashanah. And therefore the question is, even in these exceptional rules where it's Derech B'nai Adam, alright, fine, it's Derech B'nai Adam. You know, these types of people, these groups of the females, they drive animals even in Rosh Hashanah. But so what? You've solved the problem of Derech B'nai Adam and you fulfilled that requirement, but that's not sufficient. You have another requirement, namely to set up a Kinyan Mashicha. Is Rechiva Mashicha? And if it is, Mashicha means I took it into my own private domain. You know, now I can close the door, close the fence, and enjoy the benefit of it, keep people out, you know, no trespassing.
So you're saying one of the key elements of the case in favor of the buyer of the car is the fact that he didn't put it into his garage at the beginning. He didn't put it into his driveway, he left it out on the road.
Right. So maybe the buyer could claim that A, Kesef is not metal to it. Don't get upset. You know, we still have all. If you remember last time, the guy who stole the information, through a whole, I got you this,
I didn't like that, by the way, but anyway,
look at it. All right. Well, again, we left a little bit of an opening for you last week. If you remember that if we would be convinced that it was a definitely solid investment, not some sort of just, you know, secret, you know, somebody let out the bag about you gotta buy this stock, you know, he was very cynical because sometimes it's the company themselves that lets out these secrets, you know. But I'm saying, if, let's say, remember we discussed this, you had a team of experts that really evaluated that this was a once in a lifetime kind of investment, that you could literally double and triple your funds, then the employee would have to make up the difference. So don't walk out too sad, you know. But getting back to this case, again, sometimes I like to get you sad at the beginning of the tshuva so that you'll be happy at the end. Right now you might be sad because it seems that the argument of the buyer here is a very solid one. A, he did not make a kinyan on this automobile through money because kesef is not kona metaltalin. Ella, what you'll say, it was a kinyan mashicha in the form of rechiva because he drove the car, but that's problematic as well because there's no kinyan mashicha versus harab. Okay. So on this discussion of the Ketzos, because the Ketzos doesn't understand how in this so many different exceptional cases you can be Kona Rechiv and Rosh Hashanah, even though there's no Mashiach and Rosh Hashanah, we have an answer of the Nesivos. The Nesivos, right here in Sif Beis. Now I'm going to read what I think are the most important parts of this Nesivos, so that you don't have to go through the entire Nesivos, it's quite long. But perhaps as we're going through this, you can take a look. He says that Rechiva on a Behema is Kone in a slightly different way than your normal Rechiva, your normal Mashicha. Because again, you know, he's trying to answer up the Kasha of the Ketzos. And he suggests that Rechiva essentially is a Kenyan Mesira. And you'll see that after he quotes the Ketos and he writes V'hu l'chora tabua v'yene kol ma'ayin v'yefshe the Sri l'kidas ha-tosvis the nickname nami rochuv b'mosera mashmi divreyem di'amrina rochuv kone kona mitam mosera. Mosera is a kind of Kenyan Mesira. And the Nesivus is going to try to prove that it's as if the buyer was holding on achaz b'fnei ha-mocher sabhema. It's like he's grabbing on to the animal in the presence of the seller, and Mesira is kone in Rishus HaRabim. Now, the fact that Mesira is kone in Rishus HaRabim should be on the second side. Let me see if I got that right. That would be it's in the same Simon Kuf Tzadi Ches, but not Sif Yudalin, but a little bit earlier in that Simon, in Sif Tes. So there it says that Mesira is Kona in Rishus HaRabim. And therefore the Nesivus argues that this Kenyan began with Meshicha, when he drives the animal, but he can't drive the animal in Rishus HaRabim, make a Kenyan on it, Bitaris Meshicha, but he completes the Kenyan with Mesira. As long as he goes in a little bit to a simta, then everything is fine. That's called a Kenyan Mesira. So what is Mesira? Mesira, basically, you imagine the case of a horse. You know the reins are on the horse, right? Is there another word for that?
No.
Yeah, reins. So when I give you the reins, you now have control over the horse. So it doesn't matter where this takes place. On the contrary, it's in Rishus HaRabim, and that's where I want to use it.
Isn't there a Gemara like that where, you know, I forget which Rav it was, in the Gemara he says he went to buy a cow, and he never used to milk his cow on Shabbat, or work his cow on Shabbat, and then he gave it to the owner, the cow spoke to him and said, you know, I'm not working, he said, now you don't, I don't owe you anymore, now you have a new owner, you have to work on Shabbat.
Oh, I see, that's a similar Gemara, yeah. So anyway, the Nesivus claims that Rechiva could be subsumed under Mesira, because Mesira means I now hold the reins. So Rechiva, since I'm grabbing the animal with my legs and so forth, that's... Now the truth is that way before the Nesivus, this question was addressed by the Tosis Rid. Tosis Rid is already a Rishon, so we're going way back in history. So I copied for you, it's the third source on your page, the Tosis Rid. The Ikasha, he asks the question, we're talking about a Kenyan of Rishus HaRabim, of someone who's riding the animal and guiding it with his legs wrapped around the animal. So since he's controlling the animal's movement, he's being moshech the animal, he's pulling it. This is exactly what the Ketos is asking. Little did the Ketos know that this kasha was asked centuries and centuries before him by the Tosis Rid. He says, Tshuva nirali, he gives an answer on the third line, D'yesh chiluk be meshichas metaltalin l'vei meshichas bali chayim. He says it's true that in the case of metaltalin, there's no meshich in Rishus HaRabim. And why is that? He says, the meshichas metaltalin akonim Rishus HaRabim he's got to take this inanimate object, this movable object, and bring it elof into his area. For example, he says, let's say he rolls the object and it moves far away from him. Lokana, that's not called meshicha. Meshicha means he brings it into his own possession. Hilkoth, therefore, besimta sheyeshlo barishus, in a simta, which is that part that we described that's off the beaten path of the public thoroughfare, and anyone can go in there and use that area for himself exclusively, there you can do meshicha. Vahavi, let's underline these words, havi ki ilu hevio birshuso, he brought it into his own domain. There's no such thing as Meshicha Metaltalin, inanimate Metaltalin, in Rishus Rabbim, because he didn't bring it into his Rishus. Oh, what about Bali Chayim? However, in the case of animals, Enokan. The Iker Meshichasam Hi Lan Higo Lefanav. The real Kinyan is to be manhig the animal, meaning to control the animal and its movement. Lo shivienu etzlo. It's not that he takes it into his possession, but rather the kinyan is that he is controlling the animal, he's guiding its movement. Ubi'inon, achitakar bemiyad v'regel. That the animal move its leg and its hand, meaning the back and the front, so that you caused the movement of the animal. Oh, I should tell like Moloko Maso. So let's come back to our original question. When I analyze the case of the Mishpatei HaTorah, where the buyer paid money, or some of it's on balance, and he wasn't coated with metaltolin, but could he be coated with Meshicha? Well, let's go through. According to Nesivas, Meshicha works even in Rishus HaRabim. I'm sorry, backtrack. Meshicha doesn't work in Rishus HaRabim, but Rechiva works in Rishus HaRabim because Rechiva is a subcategory of Mesira. According to the Tosis Rid, Rechiva is Meshicha, but it's a different kind of Meshicha, whereas your classical Meshicha means you brought it into your possession. The case of Rechiva, since you're manning the animal, you have control of the animal, your legs are wrapped around the animal, you guide it to go this way or that way to stop it to go, and that itself is a kinyan even in Rishus HaRabim. So it's a stronger kinyan of Meshicha than what would you say about driving an automobile. Does he have control of it?
Seems so.
He does. He has the hand, you know, he controls the brakes and the accelerator, so he'll decide when the car will go and in which direction. He has the wheel, he can turn it this way, turn it that way. He has basically control over the automobile in a total sort of way. It's an absolute control. So he's really a manhig in the most extreme sense. In the case of an animal, you know, it's not always so simple to get the animal to go in the direction you want to go, but here in the case of an automobile, it should be fine. Now, in addition to this, there's the Me'iri, which this you'll see on the bottom of your page 1. And the Me'iri says that even though Meshicha itself is not Kona in Rishus HaRabim, however, if you combine both Meshicha in the classical case with Hanhagas HaBehema, in other words, this is an upgraded, more powerful kind of Meshicha because he's being manig the behemah with his legs. Then kinyan shenasa bofen zeh moel afilu b'rishus harab. And therefore, in the case of an automobile, which is similar to driving an animal, riding an animal, where he controls it and takes it this way and that way, it would be a kinyan. So therefore, to summarize everything that we've said until now, since the Kona admits that on Thursday, on Friday, whenever it was, he received the automobile from the seller, and he drove around with the automobile, is even if he drove only in a public thoroughfare where Meshicha doesn't work, but nevertheless we said that Rechiva would work. And therefore, when he leaves it parked in Rishus HaRabim, he has a full-fledged kinyan. And that's what we'll find in Siman Kuf Tzadi Hei, Sif Hei. So we have here Kuf Tzadi Hei Sif Hei. If you take a look at the second source of your page, and he has cases where the manhig is Kone Berechiva, even in Rishus HaRabim. Now, keep in mind that he parked the car. Parking the car next to his house is also a possible answer to our problem of how you can be koneh with Rechiva and Rishus HaRabim. This is what's called Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, meaning it's like a simta. You remember we said before that a simta is that area of Rishus HaRabim, which is a little bit off the beaten path. That's not where most of the people travel, and it's designated for use for anybody who decides to use it. So, for example, if I need a place to put down my wares, or if I need a place to park my animal, I'm allowed to go into the Simta. When this buyer parked the car in front of his house, although it was parked on a public street, that public street could be called what? A Simta. Therefore, he makes a kinyan in a Simta. Now, the buyer claims that the ownership has not been transferred until they get to the motor vehicles. And if the kinyan is not chal. So the Mishpatei HaTorah says, Ein mamish b'tanosa. That's not a valid claim at all. He says, transfer of ownership with the official governmental or legal documents in no way prevents or retards the transfer of ownership from a kinyan point of view. And basically, the purpose of registration of the automobile is for secondary reasons, and each one, the buyer, the seller, has gains and benefits from registering it, but the basic kinyan could be clinched even before it's registered in the motor vehicles. And now, he wants to bring a proof to this conclusion that the buyer indeed made a kinyan and it's his, from the insurance laws. He says the following, that according to the insurance law, I don't know, I'm just relying on what he says, if both of the sides, the buyer and the seller, admit that there was a document, oh, you asked me about a document, that there was a document of sale, then the sale is already valid. And therefore, both would agree that the transfer of ownership was already clinched.
Was that like a receipt?
I don't know. Let's see if he spells it out. But what he does say is that if the automobile undergoes some sort of accident, then even though the official owner of the policy is the original owner, he says, Afal pi, here's his argument. If this car gets into an accident, then the mocher will not be covered by the insurance company. What claim does the insurance company have? What disclaimer to substantiate their wiping their hands from any responsibility vis-a-vis the mocher? It hasn't yet been registered in the motor vehicles. And the buyer has not yet insured the car. So the only one who could logically have a claim here would be the seller, that he wants to be covered by insurance. It's not yet registered on the buyer's name, and the buyer didn't take out any other insurance policy, so by process of elimination,
there's coverage, right? No merit in the time of the Gemara. You didn't have insurance, and you know this is. You could just claim it's carelessness for the sake of the kone. You know, he just didn't do what he had to do. But he's
right. But
everything else.
Right, but just as a matter of curiosity, who can the mocher? Will the mocher be covered in this case?
He should be.
Why? He's not covered.
He's not.
Why? Because the kinyan is valid. So Rav Spitz here in this tshuva is bringing further evidence. Again, we have to see what weight this has in halacha. But be that as it may, for one moment, he's bringing further evidence to substantiate his conclusion that the sale is valid. As a result of the insurance law, that the insurance is no longer covering the original owner, that itself indicates that according to that law at least, the sale is valid. Now you'll ask me if the sale is valid, let the could it be covered by the insurance?
He can't be because it's not registered.
So again, even though the registration will prevent the locaf from having rights or claims against the insurance company, but on the other hand,
the
mocher has no rights either because the kinyan was chal. I mean, the one who benefits in this case is the insurance company. Now, if the buyer would have been smart, he would have taken out insurance before the kinyan was done.
Yeah.
Right. So, but it's very clear here that even though only part of the money was paid, the halacha, both the halacha and the secular insurance law, seem to both assume. Now I had a problem here because there are another two paragraphs here, but before we get to that, my question is as follows. In halacha, there's something called an umdana. Have you ever come across that? I'll give you an example of an umdana. Let's say I'm going to sell you my very last piece of furniture. And I'm going to tell you, you can ask me, Rabbi Berzon, why are you selling me your furniture? So I'm moving to a new location, and there it's furnished, blah, 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 blah. And then the deal falls through, and I can't move. I can't make the move. So the Gemara has, again, I'm not going into this sugya, it's a fascinating sugya. It's called an umdana of mekachtos, meaning it's as if I made a condition with you, if I discussed it with you at the time of the sale, that the reason I'm entering into the sale is because of X, that's almost like a condition in the sale. That's called umdana. And if that umdana, if that reality which motivated me to enter into the sale and part with my possessions, my furniture, my house, whatever it might be, fell apart, and therefore there's no motivation, and therefore I really wouldn't have won, it was done under false premises. I didn't know. The Gemara has another case, for example, of a man on his deathbed, and he doesn't realize that his wife is pregnant, and he gives away all his possessions to some stranger, and then lo and behold, he finds out that his wife is pregnant, and he wants to back out of the deal. So the Gemara says it was made on the full. So there is such a thing in Allah as umdana.
We have, today, a conditional sales, a purchase of a house, conditional upon inspection, conditional upon financing. You have this kind of thing. So if it doesn't work, you just walk away.
So the Allah uses umdana to supply conditions, meaning we evaluate based on standards that are objective what most people are thinking in this case. This leads me to the following question. He doesn't address this question. It's just my own. If the lokeach, unless again he's an imbecile, but I'm not working with that assumption, if he intended when he drove the car to make a kinyan and to clinch the deal, which again he might have been motivated to do so because he doesn't want the buyer to back out, or maybe he'll find it someone else, then why wouldn't he have insured the car?
Well, that's what question I asked.
So that's why I'm tempted to think that the very fact that the lokeach, the buyer in this case, did not insure the car, I want to turn his argument upside down and boomerang against him. Maybe that's an umdana that he didn't intend to purchase the car.
But he paid already.
He paid because he wants to make sure that the mocher is relying upon him, and he's not going to back out of the deal.
But you just said, the mocher lost his ability to claim, go to after the insurance company here.
Okay, I understand that the mocher would love to prove from insurance that he already sold the car. But on the other hand, I would like to prove in the, what we call Yiddish Pukvaket, the opposite, that from the lokeach's perspective, he didn't buy the car for the fact that he didn't insure himself.
Well, he couldn't insure.
So again, if it was...
No, he could have been careless. That's what I'm saying. It was a careless.
Why couldn't he take out an insurance policy on the car?
Because not registered in his name yet.
You buy the car...
No, that's what he means to say.
In this country...
That's excellent. I didn't even think of
it. In this country, you have to... we just bought a car. You have to prove insurance before they let you take the car. So this is, that's what I'm saying, it's careless.
Well, even before it's registered in your name? Yeah, is that how it works?
It's registered first.
It's registered
first. Oh, so first you have to register.
Right.
No, you just have to give a down payment.
No, they need the VIN number and everything.
Yeah. Oh. But then you have to, you're right, it's registered. Yeah, it's registered.
It has to be a specific vehicle.
Yeah.
No, but again, yeah. No. My question is the following: the buyer has put off the final, let's say, formality, which is necessary for insurance purposes as well, till Sunday. Doesn't that indicate that in his mind it's not his yet?
He didn't go to take the car to lose it on purpose. I mean, that's what.
No, but I'm saying he realizes that there's some possibility that he get into a car accident. I mean, I know that the last thing I want to do is get into an accident, Chasam, and I'm not insured. No,
what you could right? say, what you may say, Rabbi, is that you know he did not intend to pay the full 20,000 shekel left over. That's what you could say. But you know, Dafka, no one's going to take a car with
him. Then he would have never had the document.
Well, he didn't have the document, right? He didn't.
No, but he was never going to get it without paying the other.
Right, but what he said, you know, he wanted the car for a weekend. You know, there's people in New York City who go get a piece of jewelry for a night affair. They want and they put a down payment, then they take it back the next day. I mean, it's
they do that here also.
They do that. I'm sure they do that here too. But so you know, the intent. The
started intent, there, though.
He didn't have the 20,000 shekels to pay off the rest of the car.
Okay, so you're supporting my contention that maybe the fact that he didn't take it all the way yet, he hasn't yet registered
possibly.
The car, he hasn't paid the balance,
yes.
He hasn't yet taken insurance on it. You're pointing out very well he doesn't have the option to take the insurance.
Yeah, yeah.
In his mind, if I would say to him, again, assuming he's intelligent, what happens if you get into an accident? You're in what we call in Yiddish gehakt tzaris, you know, yeah. Because you don't have any insurance coverage. He's saying, wait a minute, I didn't buy the car. You know, I don't know. Maybe my logic is not solid.
No, but not necessarily, because if I borrow your car, I'm allowed to drive your car because your insurance will cover me. He may have thought that the other person's insurance will cover him.
Until he pays off the rest of the car.
Yeah, I can borrow your car.
But that's it. If he's only borrowing the car, and that's why he thinks the insurance will cover it, then he hasn't yet really decided to purchase it. That's what I'm confused about. In other words, you could always try to get into the mindset of the buyer and ask yourself, did the buyer really intend to own it, to possess it? You're right that the rechiva itself is a kinyan. But even if I'm convinced that rechiva driving it is a kinyan,
yeah.
That's conditional on the fact that he intended to make it into
but
a kinyan.
The problem is still with the
you know, if I pick this up, you know, and I don't have any intention to acquire ownership on it, it's not mine just because I made a maisa which could qualify as a maisa kinyan.
Or maybe the mocher said, you know what, he knows in his head that, you know, this car is still mine until he pays off the balance.
So that's what I'm wondering. So maybe the lokeach never really had intention to buy it. So the Mishpatei Torah is spending pages and pages here to prove that driving the car is a kinyan. Let me grant his premise is correct. Driving a car is a kinyan, but only on condition that he wants and he intends to own the car. Maybe he didn't intend to own it. Like you say, he's going for a joyride, you know, over the weekend. But it's kind of like, you know, imagine if I wanted to sell you something and I say to you, you know what? Enjoy it over the weekend, and then you'll come back to me and you'll tell me whether you really want it or not. Now, I'm not saying that applies in this case, but there have been situations where a person drives a car, but he doesn't yet intend to own it.
You know, Dafka gave him 8,000 bucks, you know, 30,000 shekels, so, you know, that would... See, that's why I said, you know, is it a question that, you know, the full amount has to be paid? At the beginning, I...
Right, he's claiming that I didn't pay the full amount. I didn't own it yet. But he's he's also claiming that even if had I paid the full amount, I wouldn't have owned it because Kesem is not called a metaltal.
Yeah.
Let's just finish this up. Okay. He says the following: Nira Lanius Daiti Benidon Didan. In our case, Kona Hakona Esamachonid Gam Bekinyan Kesem. Oh, this is a radical breakthrough. He says, even if you won't accept my argument that A, Rechiva driving the car is a kinyan, and even if B, you won't accept my argument from the fact that the mocher is completely uncovered by the insurance, but accept a different argument that the kinyan is kona through kesef. What? We're talking about metabolism. Listen to this. He has an unbelievable chiddush here, which I never believed anyone would have the gumption of taking this position. He says, why is the money that he transferred enough to create a kinyan? Because basically, according to the Torah law, kesef is kona metalta. The Rabbanan made a takana that kesef is not kona metaltalin. Why? Shelo yomar Mocher lekona lachar shekibel es kaspa shachevet shekona nisraf bebeiso. No, it's nisraf nisrafu chitosecha baliyah. What happens? Let's say I order from you 50 bushels of wheat, and I send you a check. What happens if a fire breaks out in the warehouse? The stuff is still in the mocher's possession. Is he going to go to all ends and put his life into danger to put out the fire? He has the money. And if the money's a Kenyan, who's going to suffer the loss of this, of destruction? You know, if the wheat is consumed, it's the buyer. So the seller has no motivation whatsoever to protect the object.
Well, you know, but the problem is that, you know, even though it's an arm length agreement, so the point is that the buyer has the right to expect that the wheat would be delivered to his hands. So it's not just good enough that it stayed.
But that's not so, because we're going back to the Torah law that he's kona with kesef. So once the buyer paid the money, it's his. And God knows, you know, if disaster strikes, you know, what's it called in Japan? The
tsunami.
If the tsunami happens, then again, I feel bad for you, but it was a natural disaster. So lightning struck, and the entire warehouse went up in flames. I'm sorry, my friend. You know, says the seller, says the buyer, it's your loss because you paid me the money. You were kona with metal, with kesef. So the Chachamim made a takana, this is Gemara Bava Metzi in Perek Hazov, that says that you can't be kona with kesef. We need to get the seller motivated to save the object so that it will be delivered. The merchandise will be delivered. So therefore we're going to say, hold on, everything. The kinyan is not valid. If the merchandise is destroyed in your possession, Mr. Mocher, before you actually deliver it to the lokeach, then you're going to suffer the loss. You're going to have to return the money that was paid to you. That money is there only on a temporary basis. Okay? So says Rav Spitz, that logic, Shem Tifrot Tzreif Beis HaMocher, the mocher is going to be laid back about it, and he won't even get involved in saving the merchandise because it's no longer his. He says, Kasher HaChefetz Nimtza Kvar B'yad HaKoneh. But what about a case where the buyer gave the money, but the object now has already been delivered, in effect, meaning it's not located under the nose of the mocher, but rather it's in the backyard of lokeach. For example, in our case, that the buyer not only paid the $30,000, but he also drove the car into you know, in front of his house, and therefore, if a fire would break out, then presumably the lokeach himself would rush to put it out because he already paid 30,000 shekel. Yesh lomer b'mikra zeh nishar din ha-Torah sha-kesef konem metaltalim. Whoa, this is very fascinating. Is this logic convincing? Meaning, he's saying that this rule that kesef was suspended as a kinyan by the Chacham, that doesn't always apply. It's not a universal absolute rule. In the normal case where the merchandise is in the possession of the seller, then Chazal say we're going to suspend the operation of the kinyan kesef. It's not going to be kona. But what about a case, says Rav Spitz, where the merchandise has already been delivered into the possession of lokeach? In such a case, lokeach is kona with kesef. Now, I don't know. I've never seen anywhere in law, in Jewish law, that we make these exceptions. And whether the kesef can be kona, that depends upon where the merchandise is. Once the Chazal established that you're not kona metaltalin with kesef, that's an absolute ironclad rule. I don't know if it suffers any exceptions. But not only that, I want to go a step further. And I want to ask Rav Spitz the following question. The kona in this case is demanding his $30,000 back, 30,000 shekel back. He wants every last shekel to be returned to him. So what are you saying? That the kona is going to be motivated to put out the fire because he put down 30,000 shekel? I'm not sure if that logic makes sense. He only put it down in a temporary way. If he has legal rights to get it back, then he's not going to be motivated. Neither of them are motivated. So I'm not sure if you can get into this whole scenario of motivation. But nevertheless, he insists on proving this from Kuf Tzadi Chesif Hei, which I'm hoping is here.
So there's nothing, Rabbi, about this issue of damages either, though, right?
What do you mean by damages?
So the buyer has to pay damages for the fact that the car is no longer able to be sold for 50,000 shekel. In other words, he lost 20,000 shekel they'll never get back. The mocher.
Well, he lost all of
them. No, he got 30,000 shekel from the buyer first.
Right.
He hasn't given that back yet. He's kept it, but he's not going to get the 20,000 shekel because the seller, the buyer, is not motivated to give the other 20,000.
There's no car anymore.
Legally,
that's what I'm saying. The damages, like,
legally, according to Rav Spitz, legally he has to pay the 20,000.
He has to pay the 20,000. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. Okay. I mean, I'll read in another minute. I'm going to read to you the final summary,
okay.
The bottom line. But that's what he's going to say.
Okay.
He says that the Shulchan Aruch says in Kuf Tzadi Ches Sif Hey, im hakode chefetz al yidei kesef bilvad hiskir es diras ola mocher. So I'm purchasing something from you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you leave the object in my possession. Hiniach hamocher bedira hamuskeres es hachefet shem mechoro. B'mikra zem moil kinyin kesef bilvad l'knosom. V'atam l'kach u'mishum d'benidon zeh me'ach rakonim istovev tadir liad beso. Wow. Here's the case. You're the seller, I'm the buyer. And I rent you out my house. So you sold me an object. Where is it? It's in my house. And you rented it. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, in such a case, even if you only sold it to me with kesef, meaning if I only paid you kesef, it's mine. Why is it mine? Because if something happens, let's say a fire breaks out, since it's in my house, which I rented to you, I'm going to be sure to constantly survey my house, you know, surveillance over the house. And if Chas V'Shalom something breaks loose, I'm going to break in there and do whatever I can to put out the fire. It's my house. In such a case, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, then you can be Kohen B'Kesef. Now, I don't know. I thought maybe the Shulchan Aruch was saying something totally different, that now he's kind of a chotzer, because since the object that's being sold is in the lokeach's chotzer, it's in his possession, in his house, that's kind of, but he's saying no. That the reason why he's kone is because of the kesef that he paid, and even though normally kesef is not kone metalflin, in this case, kesef is kone metalflin. Lefize, and here he summarizes his final conclusion on this case. And therefore he says he's got to pay back, he's got to pay up the balance and let him find. And even though he'll get no benefit whatsoever because the car is stolen, he still has to pay up. So let's just summarize this. I want to add one point and then we'll wrap this up. His summary is that A, the lokeach was kone with rechiva by driving the car. B, he says that maybe he was kone through the law that, you know, the insurance recognizes this. C, he wants to say that he's kone with kesef because in this case he, since the car is in his backyard, he's going to be motivated to save it. I just want to add one comment. I thought that you could throw out the whole discussion. Tell me if I'm wrong in my thinking. Lefi Aniyus Daiti, you can circumvent this whole discussion about Kinyonim. Forget it. It belongs to the Mocher. But the Kohen has to pay for it. Why? Because he drove it. And if he drove it, that gives him the status of a Shoel. A Shoel is anyone who uses someone else's object with permission. He's not a ganav, He's a shoel. Now the halach of shoel is that he has to pay for all damages. So the lokeach, insofar as he took the car for a drive, his status is that of a shoel. Now if while he was driving, you know, the motor fell apart, that's one thing. That's called meis avachmas malacha. But barring that, under any situation, certainly gneivas included, he has to pay for it. So let's say he has to pay $50,000, because that's the value of the car. Irrelevant of whether it's his or not. Simply he didn't show it. And therefore I thought we could obviate the whole discussion about whether the kinyan is chav.
Possession is 9/10 of the law.
Correct.
Go ahead, Rabbi.
All right?